Welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Here at Mosaic, we strive to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. To learn more about Mosaic, check out the website at mosaicportland.org.
Well, hey, good evening, Mosaic. Hey, it's good to see you guys. Welcome. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and when it comes to dessert, I am not picky. Put it in front of me and it will probably disappear. That's my motto when it comes to dessert. Really good to see you. Hey, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about Mosaic North, and Mosaic is starting another Sunday gathering in North Portland to reach people for Christ, to be a part of the work that God's already doing there. And we had a gathering this morning, our final monthly gathering. We've been gathering once a month for the last probably 9 months, I guess. And we had about 115 people there this morning. It was amazing. It was a great time. Yeah. And really, really a great gathering. We have been asking people from Mosaic Northeast to consider making Mosaic North their home gathering for 1 year, whether you live in North Portland or not. In the fall, we're going to be starting weekly gatherings, weekly worship gatherings on Sundays. And we've had about 20 people. We've been asking for 30, and we've had about 20 people kind of throw their name in the hat and say, yeah, we want to be missionaries in North Portland. We want to be a part of Mosaic North. And so really, really exciting. It was a great morning, and we're going to do it again tonight. So welcome. Glad you're here. We're in a series. We're talking about the Constant Warrior. That's the title of the series, the Constant Warrior. The Constant Warrior is Jesus. He has defeated Satan. Through his death, through his resurrection, through his reign, he has victory over sin and death and evil. And yet we live in a reality where evil still exists in our world, where we're still tempted. We still have an enemy. Satan really is still has some power, and he tries to spoil the work of God. He tries to spoil whatever redemptive work God might be doing in your life, whatever good might be happening in the world. He's opposed to that. And so we've been talking about the Constant Warrior and how we, as followers of Jesus, we stand with Christ in opposition to evil and to our enemy. It's all about Jesus, who's already defeated Satan. It's not about our ability to stand and be strong. It's about taking on his strength. And we've been talking about what that looks like for the last several weeks by talking about armor, that spiritual armor that God gives to us to wear as we stand with Christ in a very evil world. Today we're going to be talking about footwear and the boots we wear as part of this armor. When you get up in the morning or when you came to church this evening, you probably put on some shoes or some flip-flops or maybe some knee boots. A few of you wore higher heel shoes that, you know, make your feet like that. You put on some footwear, and putting on footwear is one of the last things that you do when you're getting ready for your day, when you're getting ready to go out, right? It's one of the final things you do to prepare yourself for what lies ahead. You put on some shoes. For me, I put on Vans. Just about every day, I put on a pair of Vans, and that's because Vans are the greatest shoes in the universe. And if you own a pair of Vans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you need to buy a pair of Vans for yourself, because I put on my Vans and I feel like I can dunk a basketball. I really do. And I can't dunk a basketball, but I feel like I can because I feel so ready, you know. I love my Vans. So I put Vans on, and we put shoes on because we want to be prepared for what's next. It prepares us to go out and to go about our business and to be the people we are and to do the things we're called to do. So we put on shoes. Today we're talking about spiritual readiness, gospel boots that we put on. It's footwear that's part of the armor that we wear as we stand with Jesus. And even though sin and death have been already defeated by Jesus, we actually have to have some footwear on. We have to stand against him. And one of the ways we stand against him is by talking about the gospel, by sharing the good news of Jesus. That's what gospel boots are. We put them on. We get ourselves ready, so to speak, to share the good news of Christ, to tell people what Jesus is doing, that Jesus came to earth and that he died and that he conquered death and he forgives sin and that they can have a relationship with God. When we tell that story, Satan is not pleased. That's not a message that that our enemy wants to get out there. And so we have to be ready and equipped and prepared for that. That's what gospel boots are. So if you have a Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read verses 10 through 15. Ephesians 6, 10 through 15. It'll be on the screen as well. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The word gospel gets thrown around a lot by church people. If you're not a church person, if you're kind of new to church or Jesus is something that you're just kind of checking out, you've maybe heard church types say that word gospel, and maybe you have no idea what they're talking about. That's fine. It's actually a really good word. It's a word that doesn't actually have to freak us out. The word gospel is a word that simply means good news. It means good news. And Paul, here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, says that the gospel, the good news, is that God is bringing peace. That God has made a way for peace to happen. It's a gospel. It's good news of peace that comes through Jesus Christ. And the reason that it's good news and that it's not just like okay news or sort of ho-hum news, it's good news, is because it actually brings real peace on so many levels. The scriptures use the word peace 550 times. It's in the Bible 550 times, that word peace, both in Hebrew and in Greek. Peace is a priority for God. I just want to share a couple of examples. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus brings peace with God, between people and God, between humans, between you and I and God. It's not something that we do by jumping through religious hoops, or by doing enough good works, or by sort of orienting our lives around certain religious priorities. No, that's not how it works. It's actually peace with God that's secured for us by the work of Jesus. It's all about him and the peace that he brings. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus brings us inner peace, a peace at the very deepest level of our souls. And so many people in our Portland culture are clamoring for peace. Rituals and breathing exercises and focusing and this pursuit of feeling tranquil. What Philippians 4 tells us is that peace is actually secured. Inner peace at the deepest level of our soul is actually secured by Christ when we take our anxieties and we give them to him, and he in turn gives us peace. It's not a peace that goes away. It's a peace that lasts and satisfies us at the very deepest level of our souls. Inner peace. And then Ephesians 2:17-19. It says that Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away. People who were far away were the Gentile people, the non-Jewish people. If you're not a Jewish person, you were considered far away. The Jews were God's chosen people. They were the ones who were close to God. But the Gentiles, non-Jews, were far away. And Jesus came and he preached good news to them. And then it says that he also preached peace to those who were near, to the Jews. And then listen to this: "For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." Jesus brings peace between people. people who have different ethnicities and different political views and different tribes and languages. Jesus, through his peace that he brings, makes us one big family and gives us the freedom to live at peace with one another. Peace is a priority to God, and the gospel is a gospel of peace. It's good news about peace. Jesus Christ is the gospel. His life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his reign. He's ruling over all things. This is great news. So when Paul talks about peace in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it's good news for everybody. Because if you think about it, most people really want peace, right? Most people long for peace. Most people in our city want peace in our schools. We want peace in our families. We want peace in our neighborhoods. We want peace in our world. It's a common desire shared by most of us. It's pretty rare to find a person who doesn't want peace. You don't talk very often to people who say, it's kind of overrated, peace. I'll take violence and war. That's more fun. I like road rage. People don't say that. They don't say that. They don't sign. They don't, you know, get their shoes on in the morning and walk out the door and get in their car and think, I want to cut somebody off and then, you know, start, you know, flipping each other off and cutting each other off and drive really fast. People don't do that. People want peace. We long for peace. It's a desire that is shared in common. It appeals to most of us. Some words divide us and highlight our differences, but peace is not one of those. Yet as sweet and as good as this good news is, the peace of the gospel doesn't always match our expectations. The peace that Christ provides through the gospel doesn't always match our definition of peace. Mostly, when we think about peace, we're thinking about a feeling of tranquility. We're thinking about our lives not having any more conflict. You know, many of us are conflict avoidant people. We want conflict just to go away. We want some kind of a zen, you know, experience. We want hugs and not guns. We want flowers for everyone, you know, and on and on. But that's not the peace that the gospel promises. Jesus is not good news because he removes all conflict from our lives. He's not good news because he always puts us at ease. The word peace in Ephesians 6:15, it's a Greek word. And the word is irene, and it's related to a Hebrew word. The word is shalom, and the word shalom is a different kind of peace. It's a peace that's describing what happens when God and people and nature and everything that God has created are living in harmony with each other. When everything is as God designed it to be, that is shalom, and that is the peace that Jesus came to bring. This relationship between God and humanity was busted. It was destroyed. It was damaged by our sin. And Jesus came in, and he paid the penalty for our sin by dying on a cross, making that relationship possible again. And then that same gospel, that same work of Christ actually breaks down sin between each other to where we can actually forgive and love and live at peace with one another. And one day Christ will return. And when he returns, all things that God created will once again be brought into harmony with the Creator. There will be no more pollution. Nature and people and animals and God will work as God designed it to all work. That's what Jesus brings. That's shalom. That's irene. Which is to say, we don't find peace by getting God to get on board with our agenda. Peace is not primarily about God answering all of our prayers the way that we want him to answer them. Fix my relationship. Help me to feel less crappy. My inside feels all troubled, and I just want that to go away. We so long for God to give us peace on our terms. But what Jesus does is he says, no, peace is found by aligning your life with me, by submitting to me, by doing life on my terms. This is where we experience shalom, by submission to Christ only. Now, this is such good news, this peace, that Paul says is that it's something that we're to be ready to share with people at any time. You're ready to walk out the door when you've got your shoes on, right? And you're ready to stand with Jesus when you're looking for opportunities to actually share that Jesus is God's peacemaker, to proclaim this peace. That's what it is to be ready. I am ready to talk about this amazing peace that Christ brings. I'm prepared. I've got my boots on. It's a message of good news. And I think one of the reasons that Paul actually talks about shoes and footwear here is that he's echoing language that's used at other places in the Bible. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful are the feet of a person who brings good news. How beautiful are the feet of a person who proclaims peace." If you think about the person who first shared the gospel with you, they told you about Jesus and his death and his resurrection and that he's ruling and reigning over all things. And you heard that news and you got it and you said, yeah, I want to submit my life to Jesus. I need Jesus. If you think about that person who first shared that message with you, you're probably pretty thankful for that person. You're probably pretty thankful that they put their gospel boots on and they actually communicated the message. That's why we say that a person who proclaims the good news has beautiful feet. That's why we say that they were prepared. They had their boots on. They were ready to go. It echoes Isaiah 52:7. And so the question becomes this: how is it that we do this? How is it that we prepare ourselves as messengers of the good news? And this is the part of the talk where we all just get a little bit uncomfortable. Because the reality is, most people that I know who follow Jesus, we struggle to do this. We don't want to be pushy. We don't want to be obnoxious. We don't want to talk about Jesus with people who don't want to hear it. We don't want people to reject us. We want people to affirm us. We want people to like us. We live in a city that's fairly hostile to the gospel. And so when we start talking about proclaiming the gospel of peace and sharing Christ and talking about Jesus with people who don't know him, people who need him, you know, we get a little nervous. We even think about our own lives, don't we? And we go, man, you know what? I don't know enough. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know enough about the Bible. My life is sort of a train wreck anyway. So I don't really want to talk about Jesus because this person that I'd be talking about Jesus with already knows that my life is kind of a mess. They've seen how I conduct myself. And it isn't always pretty. So I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, so I'm not going to say anything. And we have all kinds of reasons why we feel reluctant. And yet there's a plain and very simple reality of how Jesus operates. And it's this: his plan for getting the good news out there, for proclaiming the gospel, is us. That's it. His plan was to send his own disciples, 12 people, and then another 72 people, and eventually 120 people, and then thousands of people, to send them out with their gospel boots on to share the good news of Jesus. To share that Jesus has brought peace and will bring peace. That's his plan. We're the plan. You're it. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not off the hook on this one. Neither am I. And so we actually have to go back to the teachings of Christ to get some instruction, to get some help. So if you want to turn back in your Bibles just a few pages, Luke chapter 10. I'm going to go to Jesus and listen to what he has to say about us putting on our gospel boots. Luke chapter 10, I'll read verses 1-7. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Awesome. Thanks, Jesus. That sounds really fun. "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." Jesus first says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He's saying that there's people out there who are ready to hear the gospel of peace. There's people out there who are ready to trust Jesus, to submit to me as Lord. And the challenge is we need more workers. And so Jesus sends them out. And he says, part of your mission as my disciples is to proclaim this good news. And we have, again, all of our reasons why that's hard and why that's difficult and why that makes our palms sweat and our hearts pound. And so one of the things we must remember is that in Jesus sending us, we do this in his strength and not our own. If we go back to Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You don't have to be the one that conjures up the strength to do this. You don't have to be the one that has all the answers. You must actually just trust him and let his love that he's shown to you come out to other people and share that. The strength that he gives to you and the peace that he gives to you flows through you to other people. It's his strength. It's not about us. And it's not about our best ideas or how convincing we are or how well we tell stories. It's about Jesus in us. It's about his strength. So Jesus sends his disciples out in his strength. And then he gives them some really helpful instructions. He says, look for a person of peace. Look for a person of peace. It wouldn't have been uncommon in that time, 2,000 years ago in the first century, for travelers to be lodged by strangers. For people to take in, you know, travelers who were moving through a town to actually bring them into their home and let them stay there and provide food and a place for them to sleep. And Jesus says, I want you to go out into these towns. I'm going to be going to these towns, but I want you to go out first. And I want you to knock on doors. And when you say peace to a person, just say, hey, peace, because that was a common greeting. When you say peace to a person, if they reciprocate the peace and they invite you into their home, that's a person of peace. In our culture, that might look like a person who knows you're a follower of Jesus and still wants to be your friend. Some of us have people in our lives who know that we follow Christ and they don't want to have anything to do with you or whatever the relationship looks like. It's sort of like, we'll keep this professional, but I don't really want to know you. I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to go to parties with you. I don't really want to know what you think. I don't want to know what you believe because I'm different than you are. But other people are people of peace. They may not be followers of Jesus, but they might say, you know what? I know you're a Christian. I know you follow Christ. I know you go to church and that sort of thing, but I'm interested. That's a person of peace. And Jesus tells his disciples, look for people of peace. And when you find a person of peace, invest in that relationship. Stay there. When you meet a person who's not a person of peace, don't try to force the good news on people. Just move on. In fact, just a few verses later in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says that. He says, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. And that's so freeing because we don't have to be the ones to convince people or force people or be obnoxious. You know, wait, I got to tell you the good news. I don't want to hear it. No, you need to hear this. No. Jesus says, just take a step back. Jesus himself actually let people walk away. He let people walk away who weren't ready to receive his good news. There were many people who came to Jesus and they wanted Jesus to sort of fit the agenda of their lives. And you know what Jesus did when he told them that's not how he worked and they walked away disappointed? He let them go. He actually let people walk away. That doesn't sound very Jesus-like if you You know, we think about Jesus and we think about like this guy who's going to spend time with anybody and no matter what, he loves you and he's going to be there with you. Yeah, he loves you, but he's not going to hang out with people who aren't ready to receive him. And he tells his disciples to do the same. Find people of peace. So the question for us is this: how tuned in are we to people of peace in our lives? This is actually something that we can evaluate. In fact, I want to offer five really simple tools that we can use to evaluate how tuned in we are to the people of peace that God brings in our lives. These come from a guy named Mike Breen. He wrote a book called Building a Discipling Culture. And I just want to rattle through these really quickly. The first one is presence. Presence. There are people of peace where you work, where you live, where you go to school. How present are you to them? So much of my life, I know that I could be physically present, but I'm not actually present to the people around me. And I'm sure many of us can relate to that because we're busy, we've got things to do, we've got other things to worry about. So the question becomes, how tuned in are we to what God is doing in people's lives around us? How aware are we spiritually of what God is doing in people that we live with and that we learn with, that we work with? How tuned in are we to people of peace? On a scale from 1 to 10, how present are you to the people around you? Second one is passing relationships. Passing relationships. These are people that you only meet once or twice. Maybe you meet somebody at a party. Maybe you meet them in line at a coffee shop. Maybe you sit down on an airplane and they're sitting next to you, right? Somebody you're only going to meet once or twice. It's a passing relationship. Anytime you sit down on an airplane and you sit down in a seat, you have to do two things, right? The first thing you do is you go, man, I hope nobody sits next to me. And then the second thing is that when somebody does sit down next to you, you go, okay, am I going to engage this person or not? What am I going to say? You know, I got a book I want to read. It's a good book. You know, I want to play some Candy Crush. It's a long flight. And so this person, you know, you say, how tuned in are you to people that are passing relationships in your life? Every once in a while, God brings a passing person into our life who's actually a person of peace. And if you want to think about this relationship, and if you want to categorize it, think about it as a sprint. You're not going to be with that person very much. You're not going to be spending a lot of time with them. You kind of got like one shot, you know? And so, the goal in that conversation is simply to help that person take maybe one step towards Christ. You're probably not going to share the whole gospel with them and then pray with them to trust Jesus and then invite them to church. And that's probably not going to happen, you know, in line at your favorite coffee shop. But you can help them take a step towards Jesus. So how willing are you to help a passing person of peace forward in their journey with Jesus? Scale from 1 to 10. Again, evaluate your own heart. Third, there's permanent relationships, and these are the people that you're stuck with, right? These are the people that you're going to see at work. They're your housemates, they're family members. Some of these people are persons of peace. Some of them are not. Some of them become people of peace over time. These relationships, if passing relationships are a sprint, these relationships are like a marathon. How aware are you of permanent people of peace who are permanent people of peace in your life? On a scale from 1 to 10, how willing are you to consistently invest in that relationship? The fourth is power. Power. We must remember that only the Holy Spirit, only God, only the work of God can change a person's heart. God's power is the thing that changes a life. And sometimes God actually uses us to demonstrate his power. And one of the best ways that this happens most frequently is prayer. We pray for people in our lives who don't know Jesus. We pray for people in our lives who are people of peace, that they would be open and that they would hear the good news of the gospel of peace. But we also can take that one step further. We can actually pray with them. And I know that some of you, that freaks you out. You mean actually like pray with somebody out loud? Yeah. I mean, what if we just kind of made that a normal part of our practice? Hey, can I pray for you? Well, sure. What do you want me to pray about? Pray that I get like a new job or something, or maybe $1 million or better looking girlfriend. I don't know, you know, but okay, let me pray for you right now. And actually put your arm around your friend and to pray with them. Do you see what's happening there? We're actually, that person is actually opening up his or her heart to the power and the work of God in their life. And we can actually become a conduit of God's power by praying with people. So on a scale from 1 to 10, how willing are you to take risks and pray for people that they might experience the power of God? And then the fifth one is proclamation. Proclamation. This is when we tell something of the good news of peace. It's when we share part of the message of who Jesus is and what he does. It can be sharing part of your story. It can be sharing something that God has done in your life. He provided me a job. He's given me peace with God. He's given us an awesome neighborhood and great neighbors. It can be something like this. You know, Jesus accepts me. I found that Jesus accepts me. That other people in my life shame me, and he never does. We're sharing something. We're proclaiming something of this gospel of peace. On a scale from 1 to 10, how willing are you to let the name of Jesus pass across your lips in a conversation? Now, I want to make a confession to you, all right? My confession is that I'm not that great at this stuff. And that might surprise you because this is kind of what I do for a living, you know? Like you're a pastor, you know, you preach. As a pastor, as somebody who gets up and opens up the Word of God and shares it with people, my responsibility is not to tell you all the things that I do well. My responsibility is to open this book up and let its truth transform all of our lives, including my own. And so when we talk about putting on our gospel boots, I can be very honest with you, and I can say there are days and there are times when I am ready with my gospel boots. I am ready to point people to Christ. And then there are days when I simply am not. There are days when I'm walking out the door, you can just kind of visualize this. And I don't know if you've ever done this when you're getting ready for your day. You're in a hurry. You're trying to get out the door. You grab your shoes. You get one shoe on. You grab the other one. And you kind of hop to your car, right? Because you're late and you're like scrambling. You're grabbing your muffin and your coffee and you're just spilling stuff everywhere. There's days where I'm simply not ready. And I'm not prepared, and I'm not open, and I'm not paying attention to what God's doing in the in people around me. So I want to share two stories because I think this will give you some help and hopefully some hope. The first story is a story where I wasn't ready. It happened last week. I went to get my hair cut. I was sitting there talking with my barber while she was cutting my hair. She knows I'm a pastor. She knows I follow Jesus. And we were watching CNN on the screen in front of me, on the TV screen. And the Carlsbad fires came on the news. And she looks at me and she said, you know what? This world is messed up. They think that might be arson that happened. What do you think about all the problems in the world? It's like, man, like lob me a softball. And what I wanted to say is, you know what? I think our world needs Christ. That's what I think. I think I need Christ. But that's not what I said. What I said was nothing. And the reason I said nothing was because there was another barber who was sitting looking at us and listening to the conversation we were having. And I freaked out. I got scared. I didn't want that barber to think that I was a freak. So I didn't say anything. I kept it to myself. I wasn't ready. The second story. I was having a beer with a friend, and he was relaying a story to me, a story that he had heard shared to him about a kind of a spiritual thing that had happened to a friend of his. And he was relaying this story to me, and he's telling me, and he looks at me and he goes, "Isn't that interesting?" And I said, "Well, which part do you think is interesting? Like the spiritual part or just that it's an interesting story?" Because it was a pretty interesting story without the spiritual stuff. And he said, "Well, all of it." And I said, why don't you tell me a little bit more about your spiritual journey and where you've been and what you think. And so he shared his story with me. And this friend of mine, I've known him for several years, he's a person of peace. Because after he shared his story with me, he said, "Why don't you tell me yours? Tell me what you think about God." And so I talked about my relationship with God. I talked about how Jesus guides me and leads me and how I know him and how he knows me. And it wasn't anything profound. As a matter of fact, I think I probably talked way too much. I probably could have been more concise and articulate. I probably could have had better answers. But that's not what this is about. This is not about us having all the right answers. This is not about us being perfect people. This is not about us taking classes and knowing all the answers to any question that anybody could ever give us. This is about being ready. This is about what Christ has done for us, not what we do. It's not about us conjuring up strength and putting a good foot forward and trying to clean up our lives enough so that we can pull the wool over somebody's eyes and convince them, "Hey, yeah, my life, don't look at my life. Let me tell you about it." It's not about that. It is not about us. It is about Jesus in us and the peace of God that is made possible through his work. It is about us being ready when people of peace come into our lives, having our gospel boots on and being prepared to give an answer out of love. The love that we've experienced, out of peace, the peace that we've experienced. So we're going to continue to sing and we're going to take communion. And if you're a follower of Jesus, we come to this table and we take the bread, we dip it in the juice, and we remember Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. We're actually remembering the gospel of peace when we do this. And we're actually taking that bread and we're imbibing, we're taking food into our bodies, and food strengthens our bodies. And in a spiritual sense, we take in the gospel again in a fresh way. And that gospel that we take in actually gives us strength then to go out and to proclaim it, to proclaim the good news of peace that Christ has made possible. We don't just receive communion and keep it to ourselves. It's a message that we get to share. Hope for the world. Peace for the world. If you're not a follower of Christ and you're ready to submit your heart to Jesus and you're ready to say, "Yes, yeah, I'm done trying to get God on my agenda. I want to get on his agenda. I want to trust Christ and receive his forgiveness and make him the Lord of my life." You can do that. Ask him to be your Savior and your God. And then come and take this communion and remember what Christ has done for us to secure our peace. Let's pray. Lord, we invite you now to take your word and to activate it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. We gather every Sunday in Portland's Hollywood District at 1832 Northeast Cesar Chavez Boulevard. Gathering times are at 9:15 and 11 a.m., as well as 6:15 p.m., with children's classes available at all three gatherings. To find out more about Mosaic, visit mosaicportland.org. Thank you and have a great day.